MLS Aces Podcast. This is your host, Tom Sweezy. This is episode 288. We are back after a few week break, super planned break, nothing negative, nothing bad. I was in Europe. Jason, you have life going on. And Jason is with me once again for another episode of the podcast. Jason, how have you been? What updates do you need to give the listeners and the viewers of this podcast?
I've been pretty good, honestly. Like, just not a huge amount of updates, but weather's getting pretty nice in Chicago now. So that is a major plus, because I don't know if listeners are in Chicago. It's not the greatest winters, and the winters tend to last pretty long sometimes. So
that Chicago-Montreal game from a few weeks ago where Kellen Acosta's goal just floated ball.
That was pretty – the both fire games I've been to, I didn't go to this last one versus Houston. I was out of town. But both of the other ones at home, the home opener and then the Montreal game, were honestly like pretty good weather for Chicago in like March, April times. The weather's been weird. It's been cold, then it'll snow, and then it's nice. But it seems like we're through that, so we're doing well over here. How about you?
Well, I've been – if you follow us on social media, especially Twitter or X or whatever, I've been in Europe the last 2 weeks, still adjusting to the time difference and all that fun stuff. But went to London, went to Florence. London was cool. I got to go do a tour of Fulham Stadium, the cottage.
That was so cool.
I don't have like a European team. Like, I don't have any ties to a European team. Like, Jason, I know you're a Liverpool fan. Like, I don't have anything. So I didn't really know. Like, it was like, okay, like Chelsea. Okay, like who am I going to go to in London? Who doesn't have games going on? Because it was like an international break. So it's like, who doesn't have like some type of like youth tournament? Because that was also apparently blocking me getting stadium tours and stuff. So Fulham was available. Obviously strong USMNT ties with Fulham and everything like that. Fulham America was nice and strong. Got to see the locker room. And my wife was very supportive, very much entertaining. She's not a soccer fan, but she took photos of me in front of Tim Ream and Anthony Robinson's locker and all that stuff. So it was very cool stuff. It was very fun. I got myself a Tim Ream jersey while I was over there too.
I had to come back with a jersey or something.
I went to Florence, so I got a Fiorentina jacket. There's no American, Canadian, nothing ties there. So I was just like, I'm going to get a jacket. It's cool. It's purple.
I've always been a fan of Fiorentina. I kind of like them. The colors are nice.
Unfortunately, due to just timing of things with the trip, I was in Florence for 2 days during two Fiorentina games. An AC Milan game that I unfortunately couldn't go to, Christian Pulisic, Yunus Musa, all of that. So that sucked a little bit. And then the night before we were leaving and we had to wake up early for the airport was Fiorentina's Coppa Italia semifinal game that they won and made it to they're in the Coppa Italia final now. So wasn't able to get to those. A lot of locals were like, you don't want to go to that stadium. It's a piece of shit falling apart anyway. So it's fine.
I've never been to Italy, so I can't imagine.
It was very cool. It was very cool overall, though. But we are back. We're talking Major League Soccer once again. I think first and foremost, we got to give our congratulations and our shout-outs to the Columbus Crew, Patrick Schulte. I mean, the performance – against Tigres the other night, last night, whatever, is
whenever you were listening to this.
Exactly, right? It was unbelievable. It's something that not many Major League Soccer teams ever can say that they've done, is be at a little bit of a deficit, go down to Mexico.
Isn't it zero technically? Well, not one. Like, aren't they the first?
Didn't Seattle pick up a result during their run? I might be wrong. Whatever.
I don't know. But at least against Tigres, I don't think so.
It's less than, I would say, I can confidently say it's less than two MLS teams before this that have done what the Columbus Crew did in this run. And obviously, you know, they're waiting to see the result. And just to give listeners a little bit of where we are recording, we're waiting to see the result of Monterrey, Miami. Messi's back. Can he, you know, can a pissed off Lionel Messi pull off
Messi?
Exactly. CCC Messi, let's go. but we'll see. I personally, I don't know about you, Jason. I'm rooting for, obviously I'm rooting for the MLS teams in this, but I'm rooting for an MLS semifinal on one side, the Liga MX semifinal on the other side. And let's just get, you know, the two teams that kind of have fought through this and are probably arguably two of the best teams in each league in a final. And let's do the damn thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think regardless of what you get, if Miami does move on, we'd have to feel pretty good whoever gets to that final in that team, right? Like for MLS, at least the team that gets to the final, if it is an MLS team, hoping, obviously Miami has like a little bit of a hill to climb here with a 2-1 goal deficit.
It's totally possible to win it still.
Definitely possible. Like the team is focused on this, I'd say it seems. And so Messi coming back, if he can do his magic, which there's literally no reason to doubt the guy. I think I'll be confident. Even with Columbus, if Miami doesn't go through, like Columbus has looked really good. There were long amounts of time in that game yesterday, or I guess versus Tigres.
Yeah.
I don't know when people are listening, but where like I was genuinely impressed with the fact that they did not back down. They played their game still. They went, you know, there's obviously moles. You're in Mexico. It's not an easy place to play. It's a good team you're playing against who had a lot of, you know, success as well. But that like first start of extra time, I was like, oh God, this could be pretty bad. And then like 5 minutes into extra time, something kind of flipped for Columbus, and they honestly probably had the 25 minutes of extra time after that where they generally were the better team. If you go down down a goal in the third minute and you can fight back away in Mexico, a place that is, like you said, historically, like nobody in MLS has been winning in Mexico consistently, if at all. So yes. Like doing what they did is incredibly impressive. I think it gives me more confidence in that team and Wilfred Nancy because they didn't – it would have been so easy for them to just kind of cave and just be like, all right, you know, like we'll focus on our season. This has not been a good start. But they kept fighting. They got their goal. They kept fighting. They kept – and then obviously that penalty shootout was incredible. So
yeah,
just was – lights out. So
you want to talk about keep fighting, to your point, was Patrick Schulte in that shootout. Yeah. I mean, the back-to-back PK saves against Gignac and Pizarro. I mean, the Gignac one was an unbelievable save by Schulte there. If this performance tonight didn't cement this dude's spot in the Olympics this summer, I'm gonna be pissed off. That's all
I think this performance at the very least, like he's the confidence that I have as like a fan of U.S. soccer in this guy now is so high. Like the fact that he can just do that, he can essentially win them the game after almost throwing the game. Like
yeah, literally
is wild. It just shows so much maturity to kind of like brush a huge mistake off so early on and keep moving. And I think that the whole team is showing like a lot of maturity in confidence, which is good. But I think Patrick Schulte, like, easily, like at this point, he should be in every camp for all net. Like, in my opinion,
I mean, look,
there for all the teams,
he's a young keeper, so his mistakes are going to happen. And you know, it's not something that I think you can hold against him at this point in his career. Like a mistake like that, like yes, this is probably the biggest game of the season so far for you, and you need to be up for it. And he maybe wasn't initially to begin, and that sucks.
Well, for the listeners, he basically, like, I don't know if people haven't seen it, we should probably just say that third minute, he basically, like, bumbled the ball, essentially, like a back pass and allowed an easy goal. But
yeah, and those are the mistakes you can't make in front of Gignac, who has been arguably the best player in CONCACAF for the last 12, 13 years. I mean, the dude's been absolutely killing MLS teams and Mexican teams
from a career, easily.
For a decade plus. So, I mean, you can't do that. He did it. Columbus, Nancy, the mental fortitude that they have, you know, on this team, it put them back into a position, and Schulte stepped up, and the mental fortitude to bounce back.
Well, that's what I think, like, it's not that he made the mistake, because like you're saying, you're young, you're a keeper, you're going to make mistakes. But it's kind of more important how you then move from those
mistakes. The response. Yeah.
And he responded pretty much immediately. I mean, like, it was like it didn't even happen.
Well, he made big saves before the penalty shootout.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos to him. Kudos to this team. Shout out Max Arfston as well. I mean, he had a I was very much impressed with him.
And yeah, they can't keep getting away with this.
If Columbus, if they somehow win CONCACAF Champions Cup this year, the 2022 class of the Crew 2 that won MLS Next Pro and has just won everything else since, goated. I mean, absolutely goated if they end up doing this damn thing, because this team just wins it all. And that young core just keeps on getting better and better. But let's move forward. There is a lot that has happened since the last time we've spoken on mics. We're not going to be able to catch up on everything. Shout out the men's team for winning Nations League. Shout out the women's team for winning She Believes Cup. Kevin Sullivan's potentially going to Manchester City. The GA Cup happened. There was fights and issues and a bunch of shit there. So much. There's been transfers. So much stuff has happened. We're not going to be able to get it all. So when Jason and I were texting leading up to the recording of this episode, we were trying to figure out, like, what's a good way to, like, get ourselves back into it, get you guys as the listeners or the viewers back into it. And we decided to kind of just go taking a higher look at the season so far, of what it's been, and really just kind of answer what new managers have impressed us, what new managers have kind of fallen short of impressing us so far to start the season. The same things with players, signings, all of that, right? So we're going to kind of go down a few of these categories and just kind of talk at a super high level, maybe give some praise and love to some dudes, and then next week we'll get back into a little bit more of the game-to-game action. So Jason, let's start off with the managers. And I think to the point that you also texted me too about this is, like, this is kind of going to be a reflection of the teams as well. You know, is there a new manager to Major League Soccer that has impressed you more than you thought, or has impressed you to a point where you're like, I got to give him some love right now?
It's new manager to Major League Soccer. Was it new manager to...
Oh, whatever. That's fine. I don't care.
I picked pretty much.
It's all the same thing at the end of the day, pretty much.
That is true. I think there's like in. Sorry, had to clear my throat. I think there's like a couple that I have that I haven't been thrilled with, two of which are.
You're going negative first. Wow. Negative old Jason.
Didn't you say do negative first?
I said positive, but
if I'll go positive. I'll go positive. I'd rather go positive. this one, all right, yeah, sorry. Okay, we're back in the business, you know?
We haven't talked in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, okay?
I'd like to throw out John Herdman. And I think this is maybe a take based on a lot of – so when I went into like this specific category, I was trying to think of what were the expectations and where are they now, right? Yeah. And I think with John Herdman and Toronto, he has done a very good job getting the team quickly to be on the same page. You have buy-in, it seems like, from a team that was an absolute dumpster fire last year in terms of just drama on off field, whatever you want to call it. Like everywhere you looked, it was drama. And they're currently on 10 points, which is good for seventh in the conference, which is above that play-in game line. So currently like in an actual playoff spot, because to me, the play-in games don't count. Personally.
Don't get Jason angry about these play-in games right now.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about these things till the end of time. Anyway, they're 3-3-1. They have 6 goals for, 9 goals against. So it's not like it's been perfect. I think a -3 goal differential is pretty bad. And if you subscribe to the goal differential is a better indication of where the team will end. It doesn't look amazing for them, but it's still like we were all, us included, and a lot of people were picking this team to finish dead last in the conference and honestly be a wooden spoon contender and just be so bad. And they've been a lot better than I thought, especially with like the question marks I had for Herdman coming in with. Obviously, he had some issues with the national team. Men's and women's, I feel like. But yeah, so just finally, like, I feel like he is having success. It is like maybe not the top one because there's two that are very easy to choose. But yeah, John Herdman, I think he's been pretty impressive so far. I'm not confident that Toronto is like going to continue being a playoff team, but they're at least going to be competitive. And I think that's something that nobody expected to the
for sure. I think the most positive scenario for Toronto is that they are fighting for a play-in game by the end of the season, right?
Yeah, if they're somewhere between like 11th to 9th or something, or 12th to 9th, I would say that's been a pretty much a success, considering where they entered this season and how strange last season was for them.
I'm going to say the more impressive thing, and this is the only thing I want to say, because John Herdman was one of the three managers that I had listed under this category for me. The most impressive thing, I think, is getting something out of Insigne and Bernadeschi.
Yeah.
I think
quickly.
Exactly. With where 2023 ended for those two and this Toronto organization, I thought they were gone. Herdman has gotten a lot out of his two Italian stars. Now, is it still the level that I think they're being paid at or being expected at? No. And Insigne is hurt right now. And, you know, ooh, Jesus, work email. And when they get back, you know, or when Insigne gets back, I'm hoping to continue to have him be the game winner that he was for I think at least two of their three wins so far to start this season. So I'm very impressed. I'm impressed with what he's done more off the field than on the field, but obviously the on the field results are still coming, and that's impressive. To me, I think I'll take the low hanging fruit here of Sandro Schwarz. You know, the Red Bull system is one that they're very, they like to keep in the family. They like to make sure it's a Red Bull guy taking over. And Sandro Schwarz was that, is that, but he's a little bit different in the sense of he brought some outside experience from different leagues and different clubs that weren't technically necessarily Red Bull clubs. But he's bringing a pressing system to the Red Bulls where it's not the similar type of 4-2-2-2 that we've seen with the Red Bulls. And eventually it starts off great, and eventually it looks like it's going to crash out. He's bringing a little bit more stylistic soccer to it. And I think this is the mix of Red Bull press with actual tactics that could lead to Red Bulls winning more than just a supporter shield, right, at the end of the day. So Sandro Schwarz has done a great job and obviously is, you know, leading the team that is number one in the supporter shield standings to go through about 7 match days. So they're winning games. Emil Forsberg looks bought in. Lewis Morgan looks like a DP signing, coming back off an injury last year where he didn't play. Dante Van Zier looks revitalized. The back line's just as strong as ever as they've been the last few seasons. I'm very impressed with the Red Bulls. Hard to say that, but I'm impressed with them. And Sandro Schwarz, I think, deserves a lot of that credit.
Yeah, he was on my list as well. It's pretty much an obvious one, I think.
Yeah.
With the way they've started off this season, with the way they've, like you said, there's a system there which he's getting the most out of right now. The signings look like they're paying off. Van Zier coming in after a pretty rough season last year, multiple reasons. It is having already like a much better year. We'll probably talk about him maybe later. well, I will most likely, but yeah, I think all in all, you can't really disagree. I don't know how you could, but
is there any, like, let's not even go into depth. Let's move to the next category that we have, or I guess
I have.
Yeah.
Like, at least we should mention one more. And then I have one that I do want. Like, so Eric Ramsey,
Those are literally my three: Schwarz, Herdman, Ramsey.
Those are the three on my list, and then there's.
I'm gonna let you go though.
Ramsey, obviously, like 11 points, leading the conference for Minnesota, 3-1-2 on the season. Just like without a couple games, without, you know, Reynoso, like some of their better players. So he's just getting the most out of that team, and it's looking good. And then this one, I'm like torn on. So this is the one I was like, before we started recording, I was like, kind of want to bring this up. Okay. Because I have Laurent Courtois on my list as like a question mark. Like, I don't know if you can call it a massive success, because they're on 7 points. They're 11th in the conference right now. But that's with, I believe, a game in hand. Yeah, 6 games played. Most teams have 7 at this point. But they haven't played a single home game, right? So they're 2-3-1 away, which is a pretty respectable record. 4-away record, right?
Yeah.
So I think overall, I just kind of wanted to give them a shout out and see what you thought. I mean, they have 8 goals for, 13 against, but again, they have not played a game at home this season. And I think it's kind of impressive to start off your career as a manager for Montreal and have 6 straight away games.
Courtois has been very good. They've made a lot of signings from Europe, and those guys have adjusted decently well for playing all on the road as well. I'd argue that, you know, the result, the loss in Chicago probably should have been a draw too. You know,
it probably should have been a win, to be quite honest.
So
I was at that game and it was chaos. So
I think Laurent Courtois has brought the Wilfried Nancy style back to Montreal to a point where they're punching above their weight talent-wise, but it's the system and the tactics that are allowing for that. And I think he's done a great job. And, I mean, you have to give him credit. I would definitely include him with the other three because I think you start giving them a string of home games and you'll see some, I think, wins pile up there for sure.
I mean, they've probably traveled, like, so many miles.
Ridiculous. So. Not being home, all of that stuff. That starts to build up after a while. So the points that they've been able to get, I think kudos to them. Let's move to maybe managers. I'm going to say this can be new or old managers that haven't impressed us the most, that have disappointed us, that have had their teams playing some maybe crappy soccer is a polite way that I'll go about
it. I did only pick people in their first season with their teams.
That's fine. But
some of them are past. One of them you would... You not agree, but a best.
Can I just throw out the easy one of Caleb Porter? And
that's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful what the New England Revolution are. And I'm not saying that their roster is to a point where it's like stacked and they should be winning all these games and everything like that. But whatever was going on behind the scenes at the end of last year that still hasn't come out with the Bruce Arena situation and all of that seems to be kind of trickling now into 2024. And I don't fully blame Caleb Porter, but at the end of the day, it's a results-based job. And he's has one win in the league. He's had embarrassing results in CONCACAF Champions Cup. I mean, you lost 9-2 on an aggregate. I'm not saying go out and beat a Liga MX side, but don't host the Liga MX team and lose
4-0. Man,
I this team talent wise is good enough. You're not playing Noel Buck, who is apparently, you know, all offseason we're talking about how he's on the radar of all these teams and stuff. I understand you still have injuries to Brandon Bye and Dylan Barrero's not back yet and all this stuff, but you haven't done anything to help yourself in the situation. If I'm looking at Caleb Porter, I'm talking about Caleb Porter, and I'm definitely going to throw him into this bucket of new manager or just manager in general. That's really disappointing.
I personally am so upset by this because I was very high on this team going into the season. Yeah. I thought this guy is a decent manager. He's proven it before. This New England team was a top 3 team before, you know, shit hit the fan last year. And I'm just appalled, man. This is embarrassing. Like, they have 5 goals, and 2 of them, at the top of my head, I know 2 of them from Carlisle are just fucking bears. So you're telling me literally 2 of them are just insane shots. And there's 5 goals, 11 conceded. So even like, you can say they're not, you know, they have injuries. They're not even competitive, though. Like, it's not even fun.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think, look, Vrioni continues to be a disappointment. I think Ravas hasn't been what they've gotten goalkeeper production-wise for the last 2 goalkeepers in Turner Petrovic, right?
I mean, that's a high bar, but...
But at the end of the day...
They came in with talking some shit, Ravas specifically, and they have 11 goals allowed in 6 games.
Ravas is saying he wants to go play in the Premier League next. Bro, I mean, you have to play in the USL championship level if you're going to a certain level, boy. I mean, come on. But look, New England's been bad. I'm not going to, you know, we can probably keep going shitting on New England, but it's been bad, and I don't think Caleb Porter's helping himself in a lot of situations. And look, I know he even, like, backtracked the comment after the win against Charlotte, but, like, promising a victory against Charlotte, like, that's – certain things, like, there's like an unspoken set of rules, I feel like, as a manager. And if you do that, you promise a victory, like, you know, it's going to lead to some bad blood. And yes, I know he backtracked and Dean Smith had his comments and it wasn't that big of a deal, but I don't
backtrack was, I didn't know I said the wrong words or something.
Yeah. It was, I'm not trying to overplay it either, but it's just like, I don't think he's done a great job to start off his 2024. Is there anyone else that
you want to put in this
category?
Caleb Porter was on my list for obvious reasons that we just went through. I did have three more on my list, but we don't have to talk about them all. One of them
is firing shots.
Well, I think some of them are arguable. Honestly, most of them are. Like, I have Dean Smith on my list because they have 6 goals for and 6 against. Like, that's just not great. They're on 8 points, 3-3-1. So, like, it's been fine. But it hasn't been good, and it's still a team that, like, I don't feel like Charlotte has made a leap at all from, like, the absolute, I mean, this might piss people off, but, like, mediocrity that they've been.
Fair enough. I would give him a little bit more slack in the sense of I still don't think – he's only really brought in one DP of his own, Leal Abada, who we've only seen for a game, I think, so far, and it wasn't even a start or anything. So I think he's still getting adjusted. Capetti, I mean, I'm losing confidence in him as a DP striker, but he's been injured. You know, so I'll give him a little bit more time before.
I think personally, all of the three I have are, like, definitely arguable. Like,
I broke it down into has impressed, has been, like, mid-tier, and has been disappointing.
These guys are pretty mid-tier. Anyone's been massively disappointing on the level Caleb Porter has been.
My only other disappointing was Frank Lopez, by the way. But I don't think...
he technically a new manager?
He coached the team
last season.
Whatever, you know.
I don't disagree. I've been very unimpressed. I think a lot of people around the fire are just like, dude, why we keep doing this? Like, it's not a personnel standpoint here that's a failure. It's what's going on the field that isn't great.
Adjustment. Yeah. I mean,
it's totally a tactical failure. And I think it's, I don't want to go on a rant. Like, this is like, what, third time coaching? Like, come on. We need what insanity or whatever, that definition.
Yeah.
The only two others, if we're willing to move on, I have Chris Armas is pretty disappointing in Colorado. I think with the signings they've made, I expected bigger things than 10 goals and 12 allowed. Like, 12 allowed is pretty bad. You brought in Sam Vines, you brought in Zach Steffen, you brought in Georgi Mihaljevic. Like, come on. Like, do something.
I mean, give a little credit. They were all, like, most of those goals came in week one. But, yes, I still agree with you.
And then the last one I had was Troy Lessine. Why am I getting so dark? Do you see that? It just gets so dark.
Do you look
great? Whatever. I feel like most people probably are listening to this. Anyway, Troy Lessine is the only other one I had. 10 goals for, 9 against, 2-1-4 on the season. Just not – been super impressed, but they have been pretty competitive in most games, but a lot of it is thanks to Christian Benteke just scoring.
I was gonna say, if we're looking at where I thought DC was going to be, it's been great under Lessine. I still think you know, and we'll get into some players. I do have some DC players that I want to talk about later on, but I'll give Lessine a little bit more of, like, the high end of that, like, mid tier. If I'm going to break it down tier wise,
like, all these teams are pretty mid right now. And
exactly.
Like, none of them are falling off a cliff. All of them can kind of get back, except for maybe New England, back on track. So I don't know what's going on over there. I just think that's a disaster. I don't know. They wholesale changes, but and I don't want to, like, shit on these guys, these managers, because I think they're all doing a fine job in, like, many with their first either first experience in MLS or first time with these teams, so it's just hard to. Kloppas is a good one, but he also was.
I was gonna say, unless you're Kloppas, and this isn't the first time with the team, or the first.
I mean, it wasn't the first time with the team, and it's been embarrassing. I mean, this is his third time with the Fire specifically, and he was an assistant for him.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, hey, you're still in 10th. You got wins. You're doing better than me, so I can't really say much right now.
Well, I mean, I'm some of these teams that I crapped on are doing better than Fire. So, yeah. I mean, it just is what it is. But I had bigger expectations for like Colorado than I did probably the Fire. I don't even remember.
I think that's a fair statement for sure. All right, let's move forward. Let's talk about new signings to Major League Soccer. So these are players who have never played in Major League Soccer before. We're going to talk about, we're each going to give a player probably more than that, even if you know us, who's impressed us and ones who have maybe disappointed a little bit to start the 2024 season. Jason, do you want to give a player that's impressed
you? I only have one for this one because I struggled to find someone I really wanted to be like, this has been brutal.
Okay.
Not great, but and I tried to go off expectations because it's still like we were talking a little bit before. I have a hard time being like, no, this has been totally like horrible, you know, 7 games in or whatever, how many games they played.
Yeah.
Especially because many times when you join a new team, when you join a new league, it's not an easy adjustment. And I think MLS with the travel and all that is whatever. I'm going too far. But my point is I think Pitar Musa has been a pretty big disappointment so far. He started 5 games. He has 450 minutes played. He has 1 goal, 1 assist, and 5 shots on target. So he's basically averaging a shot on target per start. He has 1 goal and 1 assist. Like, I think we all were expecting bigger things from Dallas. I think a lot of when you get down to the player level, team plays a huge factor. And I think Dallas has not been – obviously not that good this year compared to what we expected.
And the injuries for Dallas haven't helped. I'll also give him a little bit of credit.
Yeah. I mean, what? Pomacall went out again. Like,
you got Pomacall, Velasco, Giovanni, Jesus Ferreira. I mean, like, I think at one point they had like 8 dudes on the bench, you know, like it was crazy.
But I think just from the signing itself,
yeah,
if you're going to look at like what's disappointing, and I would say Musa has been disappointing so far.
He was one of mine on my list for sure. He seems like a guy that if he was consistently playing with like Jesus Ferreira, right? Again, going back to the injury thing that we just talked about, I feel like you see more production. He's not a dude who's just going to spark it and take over a game by himself. He seems like he needs someone else. Again, if there was a Velasco, if there was a Ferreira, maybe he's that really good 1-2 punch there, but he's not taking
over. And I think for all of these guys, it's like, it's not just a one-person game, you know?
Yeah,
like, he hasn't been great, but also, like you're saying, there's context in all of it, so.
But when you compare it to a record signing for a club, that's when it's like, it is a disappointment to an extent, you know? So that's why when you look at a Pitar Musa, I think it should be on this list. I tried not to go for like young players when I was thinking about disappointing, because especially young players traveling to a new league in a new country, they're going to need more time than any, I think, really to adjust. So I had a few young players that I wrote down, but I don't think it's too fair. But I'm going to go with Luis Muriel down in Orlando. And this is with a giant asterisk of, I understand the Duncan Maguire situation probably sucked for him just as much as it sucked for Duncan and the entire Orlando organization. But you're talking about a dude who's a full-fledged South American international. You're talking about a dude who has played a ton of games at the highest level in this Serie A, and at one point was one of the best strikers in this Serie A. And he comes to Orlando as a DP striker, again, probably to be the Duncan Maguire replacement. And I don't think he scored a goal in league play. I think he scored in CONCACAF Champions Cup, but I don't think he scored a goal in league play yet. And Orlando, yes, the entire team, there's been some injuries, but the entire team hasn't really looked up to par player-wise for where they've been last year. But Luis Muriel is a guy that you kind of expect to be a veteran, come in and just get adjusted a little bit sooner than I think we've seen. And if he continues to have scoreless droughts, then I think there's going to be major concerns for Orlando City fans.
Yeah, he has no goals, no assists, 10 shots, and 3 shots on target.
That's
300 plus minutes, 3 starts.
That's not great for a DP striker, you know, just throwing that out there, but it is
really bad. I mean, I think you make a good point, like Duncan Maguire is there, but I also feel like Duncan Maguire hasn't really lived up to the expectations we've had, like, probably into the season with. But also, like, so much happened in that, like, last month. It's like, is he gone? Is he back? Like, his mind's probably got to be all over the place. Like, I don't know how.
I give Duncan a little credit in the sense of, like, he has scored a little bit. I think
he has
scored
2 goals. And
exactly. And I think it all came in one game, too. But it's like, I give him a little bit of credit for a young dude. He's only a professional for a year. Like, he's probably a little mind fucked, for a lack of better words, of the entire situation. So, you know, I give him a little bit of credit or slack there. But, you know,
the whole team has been underperforming. Like, Oscar Pereja could have been on a new, like, on a same manager, not
performing. Yeah. If we went down that path, I mean,
we went down that road.
That's a whole list we can go with. We can go with Cushing, Gary Smith, Pereja. I mean, you go down the list there.
I was going through, I was like, oh, they're not that great, but they've also been there before. Well, they're not that great, but they've also been there before.
Exactly.
That's why I didn't put Klopas, because he was there last year.
Fair enough.
It's like half the season.
Let's steer towards the positive. A new player to Major League Soccer who has very much impressed you so far to start the 2024 season. You want to go first?
I mean, I think I'm going to take the easy one here. It's Luis Suarez.
Especially for someone who had zero expectations of him.
I don't know if I had zero expectations. I just wanted to temper expectations is a better word.
Oh, that's what it was.
He comes in third. So to compare this with, like, Musa, I don't think it's fair because the teams are in completely different spots.
Yes.
But he has 13 shots on goal through 5 starts, 7 played. Actually, less minutes than Musa, but 5 goals and 3 assists already this season. So it's not just goals. It's not just his finishing. He is setting up. He's got 3 assists, which is huge. And, like, it's hard to – you know, not say this has been a success already, but at the same time, like, he's playing Messi and they know each other. They know everything they do. Like, it's sort of like who didn't having success, even though, like, I was doubtful that, but I was more doubtful that his body will hold up rather than he won't perform at a high level.
And I mean, to be fair, they have been saving him in the league, you know, like there's been a lot there. So I think, to be fair, he is still getting his rest in the league for sure. You know, which has probably helped him be as productive of a player as when he's been on the field. So I think there's a lot to that there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's the easy one, right?
100%. And that's why I feel like for this category, I might have another player or two I have to mention. And I'm having a very difficult time with where I want to go with the person I want to pick. But I think I'm going to go out west, LA Galaxy, Joseph Poncil. I mean, you want to talk about a winger with dynamic movement, dynamic ability, coming over at on a DP level and kind of just hitting the ground running right away. I think Joseph Poncil is a reason why the Galaxy are having such a bounce back from what we've seen for the last few seasons. And I've been very impressed with just his ability. Like, it's nice when you get to watch a soccer game and you're watching the attacking players, and it's just fun. And that's why Suarez is such a player that you were going to have on this category. And it's the same exact reason why Joseph Poncil is a player on this category. I think once he gets fully adjusted, because I don't even know if he's fully adjusted yet, I think he's going to be one of the best wingers in the league for sure, if he's not already in that category or conversation. So he was one that I had to give some love to for sure in here.
Staying with the Galaxy.
Ooh.
Because I agree, but I think Gabriel Peck has also been solid in the minutes he's received. Like, obviously, he's been more used as a sub, right? He has 3 games started, I think, out of 6 played. But I feel like he's done a pretty good job. He just has a single goal. But I don't know. I don't have that much more to add. Like, I just feel like sometimes LA as a whole hit on these two signings, whether they're starters or not. Like, that's a good signing to have, is someone come off the bench and make an impact. So
no, I mean, look, sometimes it's just vibes of how you're feeling. I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Joseph Poncio was just like, yeah, like, I'm feeling that this dude's a baller in the league, and he's going to continue to be. I mean, look, there's a lot of big names I can go with, and I feel like I should go with them, but I'm not. I'm going to go Noah Ile, the center back for the Red Bulls. Young U22 initiative center back. Sometimes center backs coming in at a young age are scary to give a ton of minutes to, and I think rotating him with Andres Reyes has been impressive. And Ile's been, for someone who I think is like 6'6", he's been kind of impressive with the ball at his feet too. It's not a sexy pick to talk about a center back and everything like that, because defenders, you know, they do the dirty work out on the field. But I think he's a major reason why the Red Bulls are continuing to be strong defensively, and they needed some center back depth. And you have him, you have Sean Nealis and Andres Reyes, and I think that core has been great. And Ile has been someone who I didn't expect to maybe get as many minutes as he has, and I've been impressed watching him. Again, I'm giving a ton of Red Bull love on this episode. I don't like it with me. I need to go back to Europe.
You're gonna hate what I'm about to bring up.
Oh God, here, give me it, Emil Forsberg.
I'm just gonna say, Forsberg. I mean, the guy, he came in with a lot of expectations, and he's done a really good job quickly getting on the same page as his teammates, creating for his teammates, helping. Obviously, Van Zier is out there with 6 assists, but I think he's either tied for the lead or one off.
It's the tie for the lead, and 4 came in a single game. So there's also that
point too. But I mean, the whole point is, like, Forsberg has kind of seamlessly fit into this team.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, obviously, this, like, we've talked about this team, what, like 4 times already, but they're at the top of the conference for a reason. And it's because they are getting the most out of their players, and their signings are actually impactful at this point. And whether that was a signing who came in last season and is now picking it up, or a signing that's his 7th game in Forsberg, it's been impressive to see how they've
I will say, I
gotten the team on the same page.
Sorry. I didn't expect Forsberg to be as good as he has been. I kind of didn't expect him that he could be the man, he could be the dude, he could be the star 10 to pull a team together, and he 1,000% has been. So I was wrong, well, and you know, he's killing it.
And the stats don't, like, fly off the page, right? Like, it's not like, oh, 1 goal, 2 assists. It's not like jumping out at you stats wise, but like the things he does to connect team is huge. Like the way he gets into space, the way he creates space, the way he, passing ability, you know, like, I don't know, he missed a bunch of hockey assists.
I don't know if Lewis Morgan and Dante Van Zier have the stat lines that they do if Emil Forsberg isn't kind of central in all of it.
Van Zier definitely doesn't.
Just to wrap up this new player to the league that's been impressive, there's a lot of names here, right? I'm going to kind of run off a list real quick, Jason. You add any more at the end that you feel like, you know, deserve to be named at least. Matty Crooks for RSL, Jonathan Rodriguez for Portland, Omar Campos for LAFC, Mati Peltola for DC United, Mickey Amin for the Galaxy, Matias Kokoro for Montreal, Jabril Diani for Charlotte, like, just a few names that I just have to mention, give some love to, that they've been very impressive coming.
Yeah, I don't think I heard Kuipers.
He might have been on my short list for disappointing players coming into the
league. I was going to, if you didn't bring it up, think about it. But I, from someone who's, like, actually been at the games and stuff, the difference between what we had in Kuipers is so different. He has been so much better. The team has just not been good. And I think that's more on, like, a
that's why I didn't underperforming than him. That's why I didn't say him. And look, you see it. You see the difference between what Kuipers is doing out there compared to what Petar Moose is doing for Dallas, right? It's completely different. I don't, and again, he's young enough where it's like I still need to give him some time, and I can't be too harsh. That's why I didn't mention him, but you did. So, you know,
I would probably put him in the success category personally, but that's just from watching and seeing how, I mean, I think there's a lot of issues with the Fire, like we've been through tactically, and where they're getting what they want out of their players.
Yeah,
I think that's more on the coaching, not on the players as much. But I think Kuipers is, well, his stats are definitely lower than what we probably would have hoped. What he's actually doing on the field on a team that like can't seem to get it together for like more than 10 minutes at a time is pretty impressive. Like when they kick a ball on the field, he gets his head on it. It's not just like a dead ball into the opponent. It's yeah. usually something positive. It's either going up the field a little bit more. It's something better. And at least like I can just sit there and be like, I'm happy we have someone like as a nine. Sorry, Casper, but you were not it. So maybe my expectations is low. I don't know.
No, I think compared to Casper Schabilko, much better. I think he shows that I think he's going to adjust to the league and be a productive striker at some point. And again, he's
I say it right now, if Ezra was the coach, this team's a
play. All right, let's move it forward.
I made the mistake.
A MLS player that has switched teams to another MLS team. So a dude who's not coming from outside the league, a dude who stayed in the league, who went to another team. We'll go down the Jason route and we'll start negative here.
Don't say that. That's not even true.
I'm gonna start this one off. And again, some of these players I have on my list in front of me, I'm not gonna mention because I think it's probably being a little harsh to some of them at certain points of their career now, but I'm going to go Corey Baird. We talked a lot of positives about him this offseason of what he did for Houston, and no, he's not going to be Brandon Vasquez, but he can be a reliable MLS striker forward, someone to play opposite of Aaron Bupenza. And Aaron Bupenza has been a disappointing player as well. But Corey,
name a lot of Cincinnati players.
I think a lot of attacking Cincinnati players for sure.
Yeah.
Corey Baird, though, is one that I kind of expected to at least have a goal, maybe two goals through about this point of the season, and he hasn't done it. And he hasn't even really gotten on the field a ton either, and it hasn't even been due to injury or anything like that. He's someone who I'm concerned maybe the player to club fit isn't there. I don't know.
I'm a Corey Baird fan. I'm like president of the fan club there, but yeah, it's been disappointing.
All right, give me a player that stayed within the league but new team that's disappointed you a little bit.
I think it has to be Nico Lodiero. I mean, I think, again, like, this is a pretty bad team so far throughout the year in Orlando. There's five goals total for the whole team. He has one of them, zero assists. But I think we kind of expected him to come in and make an impact. And I don't think – I mean, they're obviously worse than they were last year through this many games. But I don't think he's been the signing – like. A lot of people thought he would be. I think when he was leaving Seattle, everyone was like, oh man, like what a legend in Seattle. Obviously he's a little bit on the older side, but I thought he'd be able to slide in and make a bigger impact because Orlando's a decent, like a good team. Like they were a good team and they regressed like quite a bit. And I don't know. It's something you might disagree, but
this is what I'm leaning towards disagree for him only because I didn't expect him to start, to be blatantly honest with you. I kind of expected him to be like spot starter, like first dude off the bench. That's going to be veteran. Six
played four starts.
Yeah, like I think he's had to start probably more than I honestly expected. And if he is going to be a consistent starter for Oscar Pereja throughout the season, then I will 100% throw him in the disappointing category. Because I don't think at this point in his career you can expect him to be the same way. I think if you want to look at Omar Gonzalez down in Dallas, Omar Gonzalez has been expected to start every game because their center back depth is trash for a team that's trying to play three at the back. And I don't think you can expect like a 36-year-old Omar Gonzalez to be a quality MLS center back at this point, especially with what we've seen the last few years. It's not a shot at Omar Gonzalez. It's just a shot at what the reality of the situation is with him and age and the level of Major League Soccer. So that's why I didn't put Nico Lodiero in this category, but I think if it's under the context or the terms of he is going to be a starter, then I can agree with you.
Well, you're right. He's being asked to do more
than we probably assumed he was going to, but yeah, he's been disappointing in the sense that the whole team's been disappointing, first of all. But I don't know.
No, it's
that one was a tough category for me anyways. Like,
it was tough because I'm looking at my short list now and I'm like, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. the only
you have a lot of people and you're telling me I'm the negative one.
I'm a natural pessimist. I am a New York sports fan. But the only other player that I think probably we can give a shout to here, and I'm a big fan of this dude. He's been on this podcast. I think I speak highly of his game, and it's not that he's played poor, but I don't think he's played the role necessary for him, is Chris Durkin out in St. Louis. I think Jared Stroud with Troy Lesane at DC has been an energy, like a battery, right? He's been go, playing central midfield, playing a little bit more out wide, whatever. And that's what he brought to St. Louis last year. Chris Durkin was obviously the key piece of that trade. And I don't think, whether he's not used to the system yet, whatever it is, I don't think Chris Durkin's just been at the level of what Jared Stroud was last year in St. Louis. And it could be a reason why St. Louis is having a little bit of a slow start, a little bit of a regression to the mean, whatever you want to say about St. Louis. But I don't think Chris Durkin's been at the level. I don't think a lot of these guys at St. Louis, and especially in their midfield, Edward Lovin in there too, have been at the level that what I expected of them and what we saw last year. So I would say more, you know, Chris Durkin, if I had to throw someone else in that category, but maybe that's not fair. I don't know. Let's go into an MLS player that stayed within the league, went to a new team that has impressed you. Jason, I'll let you start.
Oh, I got a very easy one. Fafa Pico. Guy.
Yes.
That was goes to Vancouver. Five games played, three starts, has three goals and two assists already. You know how much he had last year for the whole season? I should have wrote down how many games played he had.
He had like one goal last year?
He had five goals last year and one assist. So six goal contributions for a whole season. He's at five through five games played and only three starts. He has been amazing. Revelation. He's a reason Vancouver is so high up there right now in first in the West.
He fits into – and obviously I know Vanni Sartini was suspended a little bit to start the season, but like I'm just going to say his system, right, because at the end of the day it is. He fits into Vanni Sartini's system so well. He was the number one name that I wrote down on this list because it's just – it.
He was the first name I wrote, and I said, I don't even think anyone can compare. He's been so good.
One other player I can compare. Only other player that was
– I have a second person on my list, and it's – I don't know. Well, you say yours first.
We'll see if it's the same player. Julian Gressel.
Oh, it is the same player.
Julian Gressel is the only other name that you can write down that has, I think – adjusted to a new team. Well, I mean, same manager, right, that he's had in the past, but adjusted to a new team almost fluently. And him and Luis Suarez have looked fantastic as a 1-2 punch. Can I think of Gressel's four assists, like Suarez is like three of the goals. Like it's incredible. The versatility.
Suarez has got to be the perfect striker for him to be hitting balls into. Absolute perfection.
I mean, the only other one I'd say is maybe Josef Martinez, but you know what I'm saying? But I think Julian Gressel, Fafa Pico, easily two of the best players to find a new home in MLS, and I think get even better in 2024.
Yeah, so I mean, the only reason Julian Gressel I wrote down, he has eight starts already out of all the eight games. Zero goals, four assists. Last year, he had four goals and six assists overall the whole season.
Yeah.
So, not bad. 10 goals contributions.
Versus doing pretty now. Good.
The only reason I don't think he's on Fafa Pico's level is because he's playing with Messi at times and Suarez, and it's just a different level. I totally agree. I think both
what
of those
are you
guys
saying about Ryan Gauld and Brian White, bro? Come on,
dude. I'm telling you, I might be the bigger Vancouver fan out of the two of us here. Actually, I don't even think Mike. I love Vancouver, man. I'm a huge Vancouver fan.
The only thing that I'll say to give Julian Gressel even more credit is I was listening to an interview he had on Extra Time, I think, last week or so. And he is the only player on this Miami team to start every single game in MLS, CONCACAF Champions Cup.
I did not realize that.
Their preseason tour. He said he's already played 16 games in 2024. Like, that's half the season, you know? Like, so I'll give Julian Gressel a ton of credit there.
We nailed that
100%. The only other two players that I just want to mention, I don't even really want to dive deep into, is Aaron Herrera for DC. I think we've seen the old RSL version of Aaron Herrera out under Troy Lessine, and Miles Robinson for Cincinnati. It's pretty easy for a talented center back of Miles Robinson's level to completely just go into a team and play strong, and I think he's adjusted to the back.
Completely three. Go into like the best team in MLS last season with one of the better defensive pairings.
Exactly. I think it's pretty easy for a dude of his caliber.
We need to give some defenders some love. So yeah, that's a good call.
Exactly. It's tough to give the defenders love, but Miles Robinson's doing it well. All right, let's finish up with the last two categories we have here: a Major League Soccer player who stayed within the league because he stayed on the same team. Who is a player? We're going to end on a high note. So who is a player who's disappointed you so far to start 2024 that is in the same exact situation?
So I wrote down three names here. This is another category where I don't think it's totally fair, but I have Coco Karaskia on here. 5 starts, 2 assists, 0 goals. I do think it's somewhat unfair because they've just not been at the level with Ace out. Like,
I think it's unfair just because the supporting cast isn't there for
him. Oh, yeah, and that's my point. That's why I put unfair next to it. Like, it's definitely an unfair take. But I do think it's been a disappointment. And it's mainly because I just love him, and I think he's super talented, so I expect more. But it does seem like he needs better players around him to get the full ability out of him.
Fair enough. I don't think he's a clear finisher. I don't think he's a clear play creator in his own right. I think he's such
I think one of the coolest things about that team was watching Ace and him and Karaskia work together, pinging the ball kind of over the top of defenses or through the midfield and out to the wings. And that was what really made it special. And without one of the two pieces, that's really difficult to do.
I mean, fair enough. For this, I went down a little bit of a creative category. So you might disagree, and I think if people disagree with me, it's totally fair. Cucho Hernandez,
interesting.
I think it's the suspensions, and it's not even like red cards or league suspensions, right? The club suspensions. It's the attitude that he seems to be having, and it's no shot at him on the field. I mean, he has 4 goal contributions so far in the league, and he even played a great game last night against Tigres. I think talent-wise, it's Cucho. I think Cucho's arguably the best striker in the league, and it's I think if Columbus wants to continue to hit the high points of this era that they're in right now, Cucho Hernandez needs to be the center of all of that. And right now he's not showing up as like a person that I feel like the club can even rely upon to stay on the field, because obviously Wilfred Nancy and his coaching staff have these expectations that he's not meeting. So look, if I'm a teammate of his, if I'm in his locker room, I'm not the happiest with him. If I'm a coach, I'm clearly not the happiest with him. But at the end of the day, he's still producing. But it's when are these two things going to butt heads to a point that's even more noticeable? So I would throw Cucho into that category.
Hot take, but it's a good one.
Thank you.
I'll move.
You have anyone else?
I do. I have 2 more.
So do I. So it's... That's fine.
I have Joao Klaus on here. With the injury last season, he started 14 games. He had 10 goals and 4 assists, so essentially 1 goal contribution per game. I think he had more games played than starts, but that's beside the point. In starts, 1 goal, whatever. Currently, he has 7 games played, 5 starts, and he only has 1 goal without an assist. And I think that's a major fall off for a team that I think, like you said, maybe it's a regression to the mean on this team. Maybe it's we know you now. This isn't like a new thing anymore. you know, teams have been to the stadium. They've seen the fan base. They've been through it, you know. So maybe it's slightly outside factors. But, yeah, I think from someone who last year was essentially, like, at least before injury, was you'd look up and it'd be like, Klaus had another goal. Or he did this on his own. He kind of just, like, bruised into another goal. Like, it's just not been there. And I think it's been a pretty big disappointment from where – he was to, and obviously, you know, it might be outside factors, but
Of course, right? There's probably a lot of things half the time that we don't know is going on behind the scenes or whatever, but I can agree with you on Klaus. I think Sam Adinerin's been a better striker so far through whatever, 8 match days. I'm going to throw out, this one's a little bit of a homer. I'm annoyed at the dude, but Munsef Bakar. If we want to talk about a dude who the XG is probably off the fucking charts and this guy hasn't scored a goal, it's absolutely ridiculous. The amount of times he, like, I get it. He's a U22 guy. He's young. He only had, he played half a season in MLS last year type of deal. But, like, as a striker, I think the number one quality I want to see is a finishing ability, right? Like, you would say,
I'm pulling up the stats.
Munsef Bakar, if we want to dive into the deeper analytics, and I might even pull this up for next episode, the lack of finishing is absolutely ridiculous.
You are correct.
Yes. He hasn't scored. It is. I've watched.
You want me to read the stats, though? Let's see. I expected. It's taking forever. Okay, so he has the most XG on the team. Next is Santi Rodriguez with 2.2, and he has 3 goals. Okay. There's 4 people on your team with over a 1, right?
just give me Bakar's. Just I don't need the full
discipline. 0 goals for Bakar. 3.21 XG.
Yeah.
Which is the highest by over by 1.01, which is crazy.
I would argue, and I don't know if you can look it up.
That's according to MLS.com.
Let me know if you can look it up. What is Bakar's XG, like that 3.21? What is that compared to the rest of the league? Because I would argue it's up there in the fucking league. If you watch an NYCFC game, Munsef Bakar is going to have opportunity after opportunity to finish a ball, and he should. 3 seems light to me. I would say he should have maybe 4, 5, 6 goals so far this season if you want to look at the actual opportunities. Watch a NYCFC game and tell me it is not disappointing to watch that man up top. That's all
okay.
I have.
Okay. Oh, this is bad.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So it doesn't have numbers next to their names, so like I could count if you want. But like currently, Benteke is leading the league in expected goals with 6.45, but he has 5 goals. So a lot of these guys are pretty even. Like Jovalich is 5 goals, 5.6. Buanga is 3 goals, 5.2.
Yep.
Giacomakis is 4.4. He has 5. Rui Diaz is essentially 4-4. Start getting into the threes, you have Agata with 3.75. Suarez has 5 goals.
He's outperforming. Should equal for the most part, goals. It should equal.
You should either want to outperform it or be within like a goal or two, right?
You never want to be under your XG. And here we are with Munsef.
Arango is demolishing it with 6 goals, but it's only a 3.64. So that's pretty close, right? 6 goals, 3.64, 0 goals, 3.2. Christian Oliveira has 1 goal with a 3.22. So that's a pretty similar comparison there.
Bakar is on game played. The Oliveira level. That's great. That doesn't make me feel a little better.
But yeah, everyone else, like Lewis Morgan's 3.12 and has 6 goals. So
let's roll this into player who's been on the same team that
we're funny going through that.
Very impressed. And I think you mentioned 2 dudes there, Lewis Morgan and Chicho Arango. I mean, I'm not turning my list as well. Exactly. Like, I mean, Chicho Arango is arguably the top MVP candidate right now, early in the season. Lewis Morgan, I mean, great to see him bouncing back after a season long injury last year. So, I mean, they're the easy 1 and 2, if you ask me. But Jason,
Chicho Arango has 7 games started, right? 6 goals, 4 assists.
10 goal contributions,
yeah. No, 11, 6 and 4. Oh, no, that's 10. I'm an idiot. last season, he had 11 games played, 9 starts because of injury, and had 6 goals and 2 assists. So he's already outperformed that in 2 less starts and
you know
4
what
less
team,
games played.
You know what team he would be great on?
Don't try and send him somewhere else. He's happy.
LAFC. It would be
well,
incredible.
Yeah, I mean, most people would with Bonga in the center. But
yeah. I mean, look.
But yeah, I just wanted to give you a stat because I wrote him down because I was like, wow, this guy has already outperformed his entire season last year, which obviously was a shortened season, but
yes.
He's played almost half the games that he did last season.
And look, I'm just going to run through a few other names that we've already mentioned on this episode. I'm not going to talk about them, but Dante Van Zier, I think, should be on this list. Personally, I think Lorenzo Insigne should be
on. Dante Van Zier's demolishing what he did last season.
He's bouncing back, and I hope he's bouncing back off the field as well. But, you know, that's where I'll stick
with
that.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think we all are.
Good. Let's finish up the episode, Jason. You give me your one player. And
wait, I have 2 more before we continue.
Okay, you give me 2 that you just want to mention, but I need you
Actually, I don't think I should mention one that I don't think has done great.
Got it. Okay, that's
okay.
Fine.
I have one. Well, Messi's obviously done well. Like
that's yes.
One that is on the fire that I think he is a friend of the pod, and I feel like I should mention it because he's been one of the brighter spots on the fire so far. 7 games started. I wonder if you could. I'm not going to make you guess. Fabian Herbers, 2 goals, 2 assists already this season. Last year, he had 32 games played, 24 starts on the fire. 4 goals and 3 assists the whole season.
Yeah.
So he's already on pace to demolish that, and I think he's been one of the brighter spots on the team.
And he's doing it playing multiple positions too. He's played out in the wing. Mm-hmm. He's played like in a lower block in the midfield. I think he's probably even pushed into like an attacking midfielder type role as well. So he's doing it in many different ways. So 100% Fabian Herbers.
I just needed to give him a shout out because he's definitely on the same team and had a lot of success this season, and it definitely one that's like sort of no one's gonna mention it.
No, I mean 100% I agree with you there. I'm just gonna mention these two as like a joint tandem because RSL has been very impressive to me, and I'm gonna go Andres Gomez out on the wing and Diego Luna on the other wing. I mean, Diego Luna is an incredible young talent, and the fact that I think he has what 5 assists right now to start the season, and he's openly come out and said he's disappointed with his performances. Well, if he's disappointed, I want to see him super excited about his performance.
Yeah, seriously.
Like him and Gomez on the other side have been incredible, and obviously, look, when Chicho Arango's doing his thing in the middle, it's probably easy to bump up those stats as well, but you can't, when you're watching RSL, you can't ignore Arango, Luna, Gomez, Matty Crooks. Like, you can't ignore
that. I mean,
that
they have the best attack in the league right now.
100%.
Easily.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, I'm going to give
14,
the RSL boys.
They have 11 goals for. There's other teams with higher. My point is that across the board, I would take their attack.
100%. I think they're. Well, I would take Miami's, but yes, RSL.
That's a good point.
is there your one player? Who is your one player? Or you can pair it up like I even did it. Of you know who you want to give some love to that has been impressive on the same team.
Wait, what do you mean?
The same
what?
Thing.
Was this a question?
Yeah, it was. Same team.
Did
it
oh, move? Didn't I just do that?
Well, I didn't know if you had anyone else. I apologize.
I had Chicho Arango, Luis Morgan, Herbers, who I just mentioned, and Messi, who is just an obvious one, and then Van Zier, who I think, like, from 2 goals and 1 assist last season to 1 goal and 6 assists through 5 starts is crazy.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I mean, look, I think this is a category where you can
– you could have named, like, 80 people probably. Like,
yeah,
there's a
I
lot.
Mean,
maybe not that many, but
I literally have a list of another 12 people I'd like to name. I'm not going to. The episode's over, folks. But I want to thank everyone who is checking out this episode once again, who obviously, you know, through a break of us not being around, was able to come back and listen and watch, and we appreciate it. And we'll continue to watch some Major League Soccer, some CONCACAF Champions Cup. Let's hope Miami and Messi get the job done at Monterrey. And
yeah, we'll hopefully have some fun previews for next week.
Exactly.
Right. We can talk about that a little bit more next week. But Jason, thank you, listeners. Thank you. And we'll talk to you guys next week.